For nearly 20 years, Richard Hudson was a detective on the Charlottesville police force. As a rule, he doesn't think prisoners should be released early through pardons or parole.
For me, it's a very high standard to get put in jail. And when that standard's met, then I think if you do the crime, you do the time.
But after spending 250 hours reviewing transcripts of the trial, police reports, and evidence, he says Yen Suring's case is something else.
And I would certainly hope that nothing like this could ever happen again.
That's because more than 20 years after the bloody murders of Derek and Nancy Haysom, Virginia's crime lab analyzed DNA from the scene.
The 2009 report was kind of earth-shattering, but you had to look at it and understand what it said for it to make a difference. There had been O-type blood discovered in the Haysom murder scene in 1985, and the Commonwealth's position and their theory was that that O-type blood came from Yen Suring. Well, the 2009 analysis eliminated Yen Suring from contributing that blood.
But it was some years before Suring made that discovery by comparing original crime scene reports with the 2009 analysis. The DNA study also showed type AB blood had come from another mystery man.
So what we're seeing right now are two people. We can't see their faces, but their DNA from their blood was left behind.
The victim's daughter, Elizabeth, had friends from Bedford, including a local drug dealer. She had used LSD and heroin and had said many times that she hated her parents. She is still behind bars as an accessory to the crime, but claims Suring alone was responsible. Several law enforcement experts, including an FBI profiler, thought Elizabeth, not Jens, was behind the murders. Retired Detective Hudson also made a new observation from a crime scene photo.
We find a sheet missing from the bed.
That's significant because at the crime scene, it appeared someone had attempted to mop up blood.
The blood was smeared around on the floor in several places to obliterate evidence, in my opinion. I mean, there's no other reason to do it. Nobody was finger painting in there, you know.
And later, Elizabeth would tell investigators that Yen Suring returned after the murders wrapped in a bloody sheet. Sheriff Harding seizes on that point.
We think she knew there was a white sheet going to be missing that was covered in blood, and it would further implicate her alleged boyfriend.
And Hudson wonders how Suring could have returned to the Washington, D.C. hotel where he and Elizabeth were staying, wrapped in a sheet.
I can't imagine a male walking through the lobby of a hotel, you know, in a populated place as D.C., no matter what time it was, with no pants on and nobody noticing it, you know.
He's also skeptical of Elizabeth's claim that Jens told her to clean bloodstains from the car with Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola won't remove blood, and it makes a bigger mess. When the Bedford folks interviewed the car rental people, they said the car was immaculate.
Given these and other concerns, he shares Sheriff Harding's conclusion.
I don't think it's anyone in the world you could put a case on and convict Yen Suring today.
And if he didn't do it, who did? Let's see if we can figure that out.
And that's just what they plan to do. So far, they have no suspects, but
let's just say they're persons of interest. There's some things we've learned that we can't talk about at all. And they're people that absolutely refusing to talk to us, have anything to do with us. People that were closely related to this have never been either interviewed at all or properly interviewed. And right now we have no authority to make them do anything.
Also refusing to talk, claiming he's too busy, is Ricky Gardner, the Bedford County detective who made his name on the Suring case, and Governor McAuliffe, who promised to investigate the matter more than a year ago. The governor's chief investigator, Trudy Harris, says there are other cases ahead of Suring's, and she needs to look into those first. McAuliffe may be planning a run for president in 2020, and Suring supporters fear the governor will sacrifice justice for political gain, denying Republicans a chance to call him soft on crime. Meanwhile, experienced lawmen like Chip Harding worry about a broken system of justice.
If we get it right 99% of the time, but wrong 1% of the time, that means still more than 10,000 Americans a year are being incarcerated. A lot of the data you read will say they think we get it wrong 5 to 7% of the time. I pray it's not that bad. But when you amplify that over the year after year after year, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people.
If the governor chooses not to pardon Suring, he could still be freed by the parole board, which will consider his case in October. And there may be additional pressure to act in November when ABC's magazine show 2020 plans to air its story on the case. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.